started in here.
I won't let you down. I will not give you up. Gotta have some faith in the sound. It's the one good thing that I've got. I won't let you down. So please don't give me up.
I'm usually still getting ready for work at this time of the morning, so I don't know if this is where they start or if there's like a whole deal.
Well, yeah, I think they let this go a little bit.
Can you dig
they
it?
Talk over it a little bit.
Okay. All right. Well, I can definitely handle that.
Yeah.
Really, I can do it.
Really, the only time I'm ever up this early is when I'm doing this show.
Well, there you go.
I assume this is when farmers get up.
Yeah, right. You know, I was actually pretty shocked. I hit up the Quick Trip on the way in today. And, you know, you got to do a morning show, you got to get up pretty early, right? So I was up at 4 in the morning, and I'm figuring this is going to be great, you know, because it's my local neighborhood Quick Trip, and, you know, I'm used to it being busy, and I figured, oh, yeah, I'll be in and out, no problem, nobody's going to be there. It was booking. Like, there were a lot of people up at 4 in the morning on a holiday.
Well, that's your, now you're at Quick Trip, not Holiday, right?
Yes.
All right, well, guess what? We are not Justice nor Drew.
No, that's true. That's true. And I appreciate you making that clear, Brian McDaniel. My name is Walter Hudson. This is Justice and Drew, Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM, TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, and your iHeartRadio app. Two ways to stream the program, 6 to 9 each morning. You're used to hearing John Justice and Drew on the show all the time. And not today. They're out. They're taking advantage of the technical federal holiday. It was a surprise to me. I know it's on the calendar and it shouldn't be a surprise to me, but I was not like anticipating that this was actually a holiday.
Well, it was one of those things too, where I put a bunch of stuff on my calendar for work. You know, I work in government, so I put a bunch of stuff on my calendar, not realizing that literally nobody else is going to be working today, which makes it impossible to do the things that I wanted to do.
Right.
And this is President's Day.
Yeah,
I'm using air quotes on the radio. So Chester A. Arthur.
Right.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's definitely I might be wrong. This is off the top of my head, but I'm thinking this is probably the federal holiday with the least amount of sentiment attached to it. I mean, there aren't too many traditions or some sort of, you know, motivating story behind, especially because it used to be, what, it was Washington's birthday originally?
Yeah.
They had two of them. It was Washington's birthday and then it was Lincoln's birthday and they combined them at some point in the past. At least when it was George Washington, you could talk about George Washington, right? Mm-hmm. And when it was Abraham Lincoln, you could talk about Abraham Lincoln, the things they did, why they were meaningful. But to make it generic, just President's Day, to your point, exactly. It's like,
well,
okay.
Well, and in the 8 o'clock hour, we'd like your favorite James K. Polk story.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's almost like they've created a holiday just to have a day off. And I'm sure that there isn't going to be a ton of probably last week wasn't a ton of President's Day talk. It was Valentine's Day talk,
right.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And then now that it's over, it's, you know, they're not going to be doing the deep dive on Herbert Hoover and the gold standard and all that good stuff.
The other thing, I mean, there's pros and cons to having a, you know, ambiguous or morally neutral holiday like President's Day is that you're not going to get a whole lot of preaching today of the true meaning of President's Day and, you know, how people have commercialized it and it doesn't mean what it used to and all that jazz. And I've been as guilty of that as that with other holidays as anybody else, but there's just no rationale for it on President's Day, which is nice.
No, so for some of you, enjoy your day off.
Yeah, exactly. For the rest of us, I'm working from now until way past most people's bedtimes tonight. In fact, I should mention that you're used to hearing me on Closing Argument. I'm here 9 to 11 weeknights here on Twin Cities News Talk, and I have a great time there talking about the news of the day at night in a very relaxed setting, much like what we're experiencing right now. Like, the studio looks exactly the same right now as it does when I'm here, which, you know, just tells us what time of the year we're at.
Well, I don't know if the little elves come out and change it for each of our shows,
right?
Because I normally am heard from the studio, but on the podcast angle, on the Wrong About Everything podcast, which you can hear on all of your favorite ways to hear podcasts, including through TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. But also, I get to fill in on this show, usually when there's holidays. So I like holidays.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I get to come in here and pretend that that I'm a major market radio host because they give me a major market radio show to play with for a day, usually on days when no one's listening.
Yeah.
But you know what? I know that you're listening, and I can't wait to talk to you today.
Exactly. All right. Well, let's get into it. I wanted to ask you, and we actually did touch upon it before we even got on the air today, whether or not you'd seen Black Panther. Turns out you haven't.
No.
Loose plans.
It was actually my plan to see it tonight. I still hope to see it tonight, but I have not seen it yet.
Okay, well, it did incredible numbers. Like, I remember leading up to the release, the buzz over this movie has been pretty consistent and amping up as it's built up to release. They were talking about the potential for it to have a $130 million opening, which would have been huge unto itself. I mean, you put it in context with similar films in this genre of superheroes and what have you that have come out, it's seemingly with much bigger brands, you know, like Batman v Superman, you know, Man of Steel and what have you, that have not been able to boast those kinds of numbers. And this thing, looking at Collider here, $192 million, almost $200 million over the course of the four-day holiday week.
Well, I think for the most part, it's a Marvel. It's a Marvel, part of the Marvel brand. Marvel has kind of, you know, lack of a better word, made better movies.
Yes.
Certainly have been more entertaining. They do a better job of teasing these movies in their other movies to kind of build up excitement for it. Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure there has been a negative review somewhere, but the people who I have in my feed or in my life, how sad is that to say, but the people who I have in my feed who have seen it have given it very, very, very strong reviews. And you know, I think it needs to be something in order to get numbers this big. It can't just be, hey, here's a fun action movie. There has to be more to it.
Yeah.
But it seems that the more to it, whatever that is, once again, making air quotes on the radio, is being received by a wide audience. So I'm excited.
Yeah. And also along those lines, you don't make $192 million on your opening weekend by catering only to the black audience, which is something that one of the unfortunate narratives that's been driven leading up to this release is the notion that this is a movie by, for, and of black people and not for anybody else. In fact, there was even a gal who tweeted leading up to the release. She said, "I carefully did not buy Black Panther tickets for opening weekend because I did not want to be the white person sucking black joy out of the theater."
Good Lord. Now, I think it is incredibly sad that I feel the need to say this, but Walter, you're an African-American gentleman, aren't you?
Yes, I appreciate you making that closed caption description for the listening audience. Yeah. And she asks, what's the appropriate date for me to buy tickets? You know, clearly the rest of the world, and this is what I draw from this 192 million figure, the real world, the rest of us, the normal people, are not living in this ridiculous space that seems to dominate social media and dominate the leftist
worldview. And I think what would be hilarious is if somebody told this person, well, it's probably inappropriate for you to see this movie during Black History Month, she would probably believe buy her tickets for March 1st.
Absolutely. All right, let's come back. Justice and Drew, the name of the show. My name, Walter Hudson. Brian McDaniel with me in studio tonight. 651-989-5855. I just realized it's actually the morning, like I say, darkness.
It's still dark.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM, TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com.
You're listening to
one of my pet peeves is legislators' desire to gain accolades, you know, heap glory upon themselves by solving the world's little problems with legislation, right? Like, if they can be seen to appear to have done something to make the world a better place, then by golly, we're just supposed to circle around them and start applauding and say, good for you. Thank you so much for solving this problem that we never possibly could have handled on our own.
Well, and you know, existing laws, they're obviously not good enough, Walter. We need more laws.
Right.
We need laws to remind us of the laws that already exist. That's what
quite
it is.
Literally, yes.
That is what it is, isn't it?
Absolutely.
They need to remind us that certain things are already illegal by slightly changing them and then saying, look what I did. Your children, right. The children, right. Our children are safer.
Yeah. Yeah, we need laws that basically play the same role as that guy with the orange cones on the aircraft carrier that just kind of point you in the direction of where you're supposed to go. Justice and Drew, the name of the program, Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. You can join us this morning, 651-989-5855. Obviously, I am not John Justice, and obviously that is not Drew Lee. My name is Walter Hudson, usually heard on Closing Argument, 9 to 11 weeknights, and I'm in studio with Brian McDaniel, who's usually heard on Wrong About Everything, a podcast which you can find on, are you guys on the iHeartMedia?
Yep. I don't think we're on iHeartMedia. I know that you can access us through the website.
Okay. So you're on the website, TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, and wherever fine podcasts are given away for free,
yeah.
You can also find Wrong About Everything.
Well, what laws have we forgotten are on the books now, Walter?
So it's my understanding, and you know, I have not done my daily perusing of Minnesota statute, so you'll have to forgive me for not being able to cite chapter and verse. But I believe that distracted driving is something that's already taken care of in our statute, that it's already against the law to be driving while at the same time reading the newspaper and having a three-course buffet and whatever the case may be.
Well, Walter, as an attorney and as a legislative professional, I can say you are correct.
Well, I appreciate your affirmation. And yet, it seems as though legislators are dead set on providing us with yet another law to do exactly the same thing that existing law already does. From the Star Tribune, if at first you don't succeed, try again. That's what some Minnesota legislators plan to do to pass a law that would make it illegal to hold a cell phone or electronic device while driving. Momentum has been picking up over the past year for the measure to make Minnesota the 15th state, plus Washington, D.C., to outlaw drivers' use of handheld devices. Efforts in 2017 failed despite having widespread support from advocacy groups, law enforcement, and Governor Mark Dayton. One reason House File 1180 and Senate File 837 didn't become law was that lawmakers ran out of time. A bigger reason is that some committee chairs didn't feel there was an appetite for the law. And for once, the committee chairs are onto something. You know what I'm saying? Like, the reason why an effort like this ticks me off personally is that there is no real consideration given to the particulars of why somebody might be holding their cell phone or an electronic device. For example, my day job turns, you know, just full disclosure, I do get compensated for my time here at Twin Cities News Talk. It ain't a fortune, all right? So I have an actual day job that I have to go to after this and before I come back on again at 9 o'clock tonight. And that day job involves driving around, and it involves the logistical necessity in order to conduct business of engaging with electronic devices.
Hmm.
That's part of what, that's how I make my living. I guarantee you this bill does not have an exemption for that, does not recognize that as a possibility, and would could effectively outlaw or heavily impede what I do for a living, which, you know, it's me and hundreds of other guys out there doing the exact same thing every single day, not crashing into people.
Hmm.
So what's the problem that needs to be solved here?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, we are not supportive of distracted driving. We believe that you know, sitting there and, you know, watching a movie on your phone while you're right. driving right. or texting, you know, has had disastrous has results for many families. So this is not anything that, of course, we're trying to trivialize or say that some people have not abused. However, it's pretty well known that you can't do that, and what you are pointing out is possibly an unintended consequence from that. But also, let's think, like in my car, I don't know if in your personal car you have this, you know, I have hands-free available
right.
to me.
Yeah.
If I had an older car, that wouldn't be available to me.
Right.
And, you know, probably somebody who has an older car maybe is using it for their job a little more. So that's another unintended consequence. Who would be most affected by this? There's a socioeconomic, you know, element to this as well that I'm sure was not deeply considered when they were
brought to you by the same people who are constantly concerned about disparate impacts.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And yet something like this, as you point out, would potentially have one on people of lower social economic
means. Without question.
And the thing that gets me is that you're talking about basically throwing everybody in the same basket, that if you're on the phone and driving, that you're equally debilitated, you're equally irresponsible, you're equally not paying attention. When in point of fact, there are morons out there who, if they they have no phone whatsoever, they have nothing distracting them. The radio's off, they don't have a phone, they're 10 and 2, and they're dumb on the road. They can't figure it out. They don't have reaction times, they don't have basic competence, right? And they're gonna be, and somebody else who is highly competent can be on their phone and have their radio on and juck and jive and move just fine on the road and be completely consistent and competent and not cause any problems. The law should not be interacting with people preemptively when they're not presenting an actual hazard.
Yeah, I mean, and probably a much more reasonable way of attacking this is to increase the penalty for under existing laws, which some people, of course, would have a problem with that as well, because, you know, you can go too far on that. But I mean, that is, you know, the disincentive to violate current law is if there's a real, you know, monetary or effect on you. A new bill, you know, essentially saying that some people who don't have, you know, other means to access their phone can no longer do that. I'm not sure that makes things safer.
But, and it's not even meant to. And that's the chief point on this, is that a law like this is not actually designed to accomplish anything whatsoever other than providing the people who pass it with an attaboy. That's all it is. It's giving somebody something that they can campaign on, that they can go back to their folks and be like, see what I did? Look at what I did. You know, I'm so awesome. I'm looking out for you. Even though the actual effect of their legislation doesn't do anything whatsoever to deal with the underlying
problem. And you know what, Walter? You know what's going to fix this problem? The free market and technology.
Imagine that.
I know. Because one day, and probably not that far in the future, all your texting, all your phone needs are going to be right there.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely headed in that direction. Mm-hmm. And, well, unless it gets outlawed preemptively, right? Unless they somehow find a way to keep the market from servicing the needs that are emergent. All right, Justice and Drew, my name's Walter Hudson. That's Brian McDaniel. We're filling in today. Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM, 651-989-5855 is the number to join us. We're going to get into the continuing aftermath of the Florida shooting and the politicization that is taking place over the weekend. It's getting nuts, folks. TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com.
Justice.
Speaking of comic books, comic book movies, Black Panther came out this weekend. This is kind of like the Earth 2 Justice and Drew with Walter Hudson and Brian McDaniel. And in that spirit, instead of the usual Sam who we have producing the show most of the time with Justice and Drew, our Earth 2 version is Brianne, who's in helping us out today.
Hey, guys.
Here to be forenamed Bizarro Sam.
Bizarro Sam.
Definitely
I like it.
Not
yeah.
Sam.
I like it. Yeah, you know, usually Sam has her little segment that she does in the mornings, her top five boat floaters. I gave some serious thought to assigning you the task of coming up with Brianne's super fun time top five wing lifters.
Well, gosh, thank you for not doing that.
Yeah. So. Well, I figured you probably wouldn't appreciate me giving you homework assignments before you come into.
Not on this President's Day. It's my religion.
She's too busy researching Martin Van Buren facts.
Yes, exactly. Somehow Brian's going to manage to shoe in every single president that's ever been inaugurated by the time the show.
BBBs, Van Buren boys.
Yeah. Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM, TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. You can join us, 651-989-5855. We're going to get into this aftermath and this politicization that's taken place after the shooting in Florida last week. There's a different flavor to what's taking place today, this weekend, now in the wake of this shooting than previous shootings. And it's taken on the air of basically the premise that seems to be operated under here is that if something bad happens to you, if you are the victim of tragedy, or if you're related to or knew somebody who is the victim of a crime, then you suddenly become an expert on policy and get to dictate to the rest of us exactly what must be done. Otherwise, we're all horrible people for not agreeing with you.
Well, it's not that different than what we talked about in the last segment with let's propose legislation so we get the attaboys.
Right.
I think that there is a large portion of people's online personas that crave the adulation and the attaboys or attagirls for coming out with something that is socially relevant, whether there's a police shooting, whether there's a school shooting, whatever it might be. But what's interesting is, amongst many other topics, which we'll get into during this hour, is, you know, kind of the who gets to be sad, upset, mad, angry, and on what topics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, for lack of anything better that you can do, showing empathy by saying thoughts and prayers.
Right.
If you say that, as President Trump did amongst many other politicians and people, you say that, if you are one of us, if you are a conservative, you will be ridiculed for saying thoughts and prayers aren't enough.
Right.
That's not enough.
Right.
However, let's remember back when there was the terrorist bombings and shootings in France and whatnot. Everybody had thoughts and prayers for France. Everybody had their Facebook picture altered so that it shows that they were empathetic and that they cared. And I think that is part of why the clamoring for conversation on gun control, I think, is so disingenuous, because there's not a conversation to be had between most people on this topic, because they have already designated the who's us and who's them.
Correct.
The who's good and who's evil.
Correct.
Who are the problem solvers and who are the problem, you know, who are the exacerbators. And I just don't exactly know what conversation, while everyone is so polarized and politicized on this issue amongst many others, what conversation do they think can be had?
Well, we know exactly what kind of conversation they want to have, because we've got it reported right here at Politico. This is from a group of students from what was the name of the school? Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida, where last week's shooting occurred. They said on NBC's Meet the Press that we're marching. They're organizing this march that's going to take place on the 24th of next month. We're marching because it's not just schools, it's movie theaters, it's concerts, it's nightclubs. This kind of stuff just can't happen. We're marching for our lives. We're marching for the 17 lives we lost. We're marching for our children's lives and our children's children and their children. So that's kind of the overriding rhetoric, you know, to kind of prime you emotionally for their delivery of what it is that they're really getting after. And then they tell you what they're really getting after. These people who are being funded by the NRA are not going to be allowed to remain in office when midterm elections roll around.
Super.
So to your point, the agenda is not let's pursue specific policy that's actually aimed at the identifiable objective causes of what took place last week. Let's engage in electoral politics.
Yeah.
Let's vote people out. Let's engage in partisan campaigning. That's their answer. The kids.
Well, they're being organized.
Well, I know they're being organized.
Yeah.
But this is one of the things that drives me nuts. This notion that by virtue of something happening to you, that you are somehow granted moral authority, not just some moral authority, but the moral authority. Nobody can possibly challenge what you have to say on a topic because you were victimized. Excuse me, no. You do not gain knowledge and skill and competence, and your argument is not deemed correct by virtue of the fact that something bad happened to you. And, you know, it's also quite off-putting to have these folks speak on behalf of an entire category of people. Like, they're speaking for all children. They're speaking for all students. They're speaking for all teachers and what have you. Excuse me, no. You are not speaking for anyone other than yourself. And clearly, with a political agenda that's aimed not at providing solutions, but at driving people out to elections in November. That's what's on their minds days after their friends were shot. What does that say about them?
Well, and to kind of one of the other things that when I said they're being organized, you and I know that being organized is different than getting organized.
Right.
By being organized, what I mean is that there are adults who are coming in here with an agenda saying, hey, here's what you should do. So these kids are essentially being used by, in a certain sense of the word, to further, an adult's personal agenda, which is off-putting, which is a word that you use. But one of the things that I thought about this weekend as I tried not to engage with friends and family on social media, because that just takes you down a rabbit hole that you don't want to go down to. But I was kind of thinking, I have lots of skin in this particular game. I have three kids that are in public school, one in high school, one in junior high, one in elementary. My wife is a public school teacher. I, unless you're trying to break into my house, and then I do have lots of guns, but I actually do not own guns.
Mm-hmm.
I've been hunting before. I get it. It's fun. Yeah.
Right.
But I don't own guns. So I am 0% controlled by the NRA.
Right.
I'm not a member.
Right.
I don't particularly feel, that other than having intellectual thoughts on gun control, I don't have a personal stake in it. So I don't like being spoken for, which is what I think a lot of people are trying to do. I don't want my kids to be shot. I don't want my wife to be shot. I don't want to defend a product
mm-hmm.
for the sake of defending a product to the detriment of my family.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people who have decided how everyone should feel, how I should feel, what I should think. And if I don't think that, then I'm one of them. I'm part of
yes.
the problem. And where I would say that if there were, and this is a word that means nothing and is used by everybody, if there were common sense solutions,
right.
like everybody says, I would be all in favor of hearing them.
Right.
If I thought it would solve the problem. But I don't see it as anything that will solve the problem. It is something that will give them a short-term, them being they, a short-term political win.
Correct.
And will not solve the problem.
Correct.
And to me, that is so inappropriate. That is so off-putting, if that's the word we're going to use today, because it's not trying to solve a problem. It's trying to say, here's an opportunity. We're going to take these things that we can't get under normal circumstances.
Look, I'll use another word, reprehensible.
Yeah.
It's reprehensible to make this disingenuous appeal to discussion. Oh, we're going to have a discussion, but there's only two thoughts. There's only two positions you can possibly take in this discussion. And we've already defined what those thoughts are. And you're either on this side or you're on that side. Oh, and by the way, we're also engaged in politics and, we're coming after incumbents and we're coming after the NRA. What? Discussions don't come with all these predetermined parameters, all these predetermined premises that you have to operate with under. That's called dictating the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're attempting to do. It's extraordinarily disingenuous. Yeah, you brought up the NRA. It's fascinating to me that the NRA is the target for ire that is being evoked by folks on the gun control side of this debate, quote unquote. As if you got rid of, as if the NRA is the Goliath, right? If you got rid of the NRA, then suddenly all the gun rights are going to collapse, and people are going to turn in their guns, and we're not going to have any guns on the street, and we're going to suddenly be Australia if just the NRA goes away. I got news for you: the NRA is just it's a stand-in for a position held by the vast majority of American citizens. If you outlawed the NRA, if you raided their offices, ransacked them, seized all their assets, forbid them from engaging in political activity, wiped them off the face of the earth, it changes nothing regarding where the American people stand on their gun rights. And so this notion that going after the NRA is going to be the panacea for the left, going to be the panacea for the gun control folks, they're sidestepping the responsibility that they have to actually persuade people, which goes to the point regarding this disingenuous discussion that they're evoking. Clearly, the effort is not to persuade, it's to badger.
Yeah.
Right. We're meant to cower in the face of these kids coming out and saying, we're organizing, we're marching, we're coming after your gun rights, we're coming after the NRA. The rest of us are meant to cower and to hem and haw and to wring our hands and be like, oh, gee, you can't question the kids. And oh, gee, you can't question victims of tragedy. Well, yes, you can. Yes, you absolutely can. You can question literally anybody because we're engaged in this field called reason, where we actually consider ideas rationally and judge them on their merits.
Well, and it's a, for the groups that probably also consider themselves science-based, it's interesting because there's lots of information about what gun bans have done in the past and in kind of in the recent past. But it's also, there's a faith-based element to this that if they just got rid of the guns, some of the guns, any of the guns, one gun, the AR-15, whatever it is, if they got rid of that somehow we'd be safer. That's dreaming. That's a wish. Mm. It's not based on science. In 1994, I was still in college, because I'm old, and I was interning for then Congressman Jim Ramstead, who was the predecessor to current Congressman Eric Paulson. And in order to get other legislation passed, there was a, you know, Bill Clinton was the governor. He signed on to the crime bill that year, which had an assault weapons ban in it, which meant that I spent the summer taking some very angry phone calls from people. But that being said, so for 10 years, there was a ban on certain types of weapons. That was lifted, and there's evidence that it did nothing. Mm. It didn't do what they wanted it to do. So if everyone says, if we just got rid of these guns, it would have some kind of effect. It's been shown that it doesn't.
Which goes back to the point that you were making earlier about the mockery of, quote, thoughts and prayers, unquote. You know, when politicians or just the community at large expresses their condolences in the wake of a tragedy like this and says that their thoughts and prayers are with the families, with the victims, they get widely mocked by the left and you get told, well, it's not enough, right? Well, first of all, that's a straw man argument. Nobody ever said thoughts and prayers because they thought that was sufficient. They don't drop it like a mic and then walk away, right? Like, oh, I give you my thoughts and prayers and that's all you need. I hope you feel better, right? That's not what it is. And, you know, the mockery of prayer specifically, the mockery of people's religious faith and their belief in God and their appeal to concepts of mercy and grace and the comfort of the divine, that is mocked as being magic. In the same breath as proposing policies which are meant to have some sort of magical effect. There is no rational basis for believing, as you say, that passing some kind of law banning guns is going to have any effect whatsoever upon the capacity for a sick individual to engage in this sort of crime. And yet we're supposed to buy into that magic while at the same time mocking people's sincere religious belief. It's pretty ridiculous. Speaking of ridiculous, Ohio Governor John Kasich, this guy from Politico, he slammed lawmakers Sunday for failing to act in response to last week's mass shooting in Florida, urging them to wake up and consider common sense gun laws. Pressed to explain why Congress had yet to take legislative action in response to the school shooting Wednesday in Parkland, Florida, that killed 17 and injured several others, Kasich pointed to the discord on Capitol Hill. I think Congress is totally dysfunctional. I've never seen anything like this, Kasich told CNN's Dana Bash on State of the Union, also citing failures on immigration and cutting the federal deficit. They just can't seem to get anything done. Kasich bemoaned Republican lawmakers' unwillingness to consider beefing up gun regulations, stressing that there are reasonable steps that could be taken to prevent further shootings. Now, my question for Mr. Kasich, Governor Kasich, is, dude, why not just switch parties? Honestly, like, what is it at this point? What is this guy advocate for or believe in that is in any way in alignment with the Republican Party or conservatism?
Well, I guess the only thing that I would say that is maybe a half-hearted defense of Kasich, but more of a full-throated indictment on the Republican Party is there are many days I don't know what the Republican Party stands for anymore.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's kind of my biggest beef with Kasich is that there's a legit, you know, I get all kinds of grief from having been arguably one of the most prolific never Trump voices in 2016. But there's this conflation that takes place where if you had specific issues with a specific thing that Trump said, then you're in the same boat as a John Kasich. You're in the same boat as a John McCain. And it's like, no, these guys are of a totally different order. Like, there is no principle that's informing Kasich's positions. He's just being a contrarian. Justice and Drew, Brian McDaniel, my name's Walter Hudson, Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM, 651-989-5855, TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. Justice and